I told you, I knew your dad for a long time. He did that shit. Guilty as fuck.
The Sock Jake Sneaker Podcast. Hey, is that a sword hanging above your head? Welcome to episode 60 of the Sock Jig Sneaker Podcast. I'm your host, Sock Jig. You can follow me on Twitter at Sock Jig and on Instagram as well. This emergency podcast is all about how federal agents are claiming that James Whitner and his Whitaker Group, owner of Social Status and Ama Manier and others, are allegedly involved in a multi-million dollar international money laundering scheme. The operation seemed to involve selling Nike product to a Chinese buyer, product that James Whitner and his group had access to. That Chinese buyer would then use a money broker who would then use multiple money couriers to deliver that money to an associate of James Whitner. So this is all alleged to have happened between November 2017 to April 2022. The court documents say there were a minimum of 255 transactions, each transaction being more than $10,000 in cash, and a total of $32 million. The official statement from James Whitner that was released today on November 21st, 2023, said that they are cooperating with feds. I won't read the whole statement. You can find it online. They say that we disagree with the allegations and that this is all part of a big geopolitical war between China and the US, and they are an easy target because of how successful they are, and that they look forward to defending their business and operating model. You know, a bold stance there, Cotton. We'll see how it plays out. And, you know, they were kind of bold in their Instagram post as well. They used a quote from Loki, Marvel series. Most purpose is more burden than glory. You know, which seems to indicate that they are burdened by this stone of shame, that they need to shed that stone of shame and attach the stone of triumph. Whatever it is, if they're using Loki, I can use the Stonecutters and Simpsons. So I'll run down each thing that I've covered here one by one, the money laundering scheme, the major players, what the court docs say, the timeline of events, and then we'll also talk about kind of the backdoor allegations that have been just below the surface about James Whitner over the years, and also about James Whitner and his kind of rising influence at Jordan Brand. And then we'll also talk about what's next in the criminal case, will there be charges or will it be a slap on the wrist? What's next for Nike and the James Whitner relationship, both short-term and long-term? So the big disclaimer, I guess I do a big disclaimer in every single episode now. The big disclaimer is that these are all allegations and accusations. Right now, there are no charges against James Whitner. He is innocent until proven guilty. The government still has to prove all these allegations in court. They have the burden of proof. They have to introduce evidence. They have to make sure that evidence is admissible. All that kind of stuff. But, you know, I'm not a lawyer. I'm a Twitter lawyer. And so for legal reasons, this is all parody. Please don't sue me. If I'm treating this whole thing as scandalous, it's because it is scandalous. It is like a New York Post headline story. That's why I have the cover that I have. I am simply rising to the scandalous occasion of what this thing really is. So don't blame me. You know, when this was all dropping online, Sneaker Fetish was the first one to post it on Twitter that I saw and posted the link to the Charlotte, North Carolina news station that first reported it. That first report did not name James Whitner, even though James Whitner's name is all over the official court doc. That news station chose not to name him. And then I saw that night that people were kind of careful not to say James Whitner's name, but I said, fuck it, let me say the name then. By then, the next day, it was already out there and people were saying the name and I was posting jokes and having fun. So if you haven't seen those jokes, go check out my Twitter timeline and enjoy. So like a play or a Greek tragedy, I guess, I'll identify the major players that are listed in the court document. First off, of course, there's James Whitner. He's the owner of the Whitaker Group. It's always weird that it's not called the Whitner Group. It's called the Whitaker Group. Anyways, they own Ama Manier, Social Status, APB, Prosper, and others, I guess. They, of course, have had a relationship with Nike going back to 2019 or so. And then Nike is not identified in the court documents. They are called the Oregon-based sneaker company. James Whitner has a deal with Nike in terms of collaborations, but also for the retail stores that he owns and operates. In that deal for the retail products, there are standard rules in that retail contract that the authorized retailer cannot sell or trade these products to anyone else, to any unauthorized channels, no brokers, no backdoors, and that is a violation or a breach of contract. It's not against the law or anything. You're not going to get charged criminally for doing that, but it's just a breach of the contract. And it's probably in every single retailer contract. And that's there to protect Nike. You know, Nike just can't have anyone selling their product, and this kind of shows you why. So James Whitner is then alleged to have sold that product that he has access to, probably both from his own collaborations and other standard product, the Bricks and the Hype Stuff. The other major player in the court document is Antoine Freeman. This is a close friend of James Whitner. He lives in New Jersey. He has a brand development company called The Foundation, which is not a retail location of the Whitaker Group, even though the court documents say that cash was moved and picked up from that company location. Another person mentioned in the court documents is a person called JH, who's an operations manager for a subsidiary company of James Whitner's. And it seems like he assisted James Whitner in the business and banking kind of transactions. So that's on the James Whitner Whitaker Group side, the players involved. On the buyer side, there's a Chinese buyer, a Chinese national, who goes by YG in the documents. It is also alleged that James has code names for these buyers. There's names like Nevada and Kansas, and YG is Nevada. So this person, who I guess at one time was in the Charlotte area as well too, when he was in US, has had a business relationship with James Whitner since 2016 or so. So this buyer wants to buy a lot of hyped product to ship and sell to China. But the problem is you can't exactly get all that product within China. You have to get it from the US. I know what you're thinking, the product is all made in China, why can't it just stay in China? But that's just how product is allocated. Most of it is allocated for the North America market. And these were in 2017 to 2022, the prime resale years, where everything was hype, everything was wanted, especially in sizes like 8.5 to 9.5. The other problem is that the Chinese buyer in China has Chinese currency. He has the yuan. He needs USD, which he does not have access to in China. But even if he did, China has strict laws on the movement of money between countries because they do not want Chinese nationals to take money out of China and put it into real estate and other things in other countries, even though that is what happens. And so to assist in all that, you have the black market. And in the black market, there are called money brokers, which are located in China. And their main goal is to be the middleman, be the broker in between the buyer and the seller. Their main goal is to take money in the Chinese currency and pay the seller in the US currency. And how they convert that money? Well, that's where the illegal activities come in. The drug dealing, the prostitution rings, the things that James Whitner does not want to know. So this money broker located in China directs his money couriers located in the US to go retrieve this money from those illegal activities, collect that money until they got enough, and then go pay off James Whitner or his associate, who then goes and puts it in the bank. So I know I went through all that really quickly, but that was just to identify the major players, but I'll go through the whole scheme again. The background is that someone in China wants sneaker product. The seller in the US, James Whitner, allegedly in this case, is going to ship that product to China, and then the buyer in China will use a broker to kind of middleman the sale, the converting of the currency. That broker will then go do illegal things to collect that money and hand it over to James Whitner and his associates. So that's the super short version. The more detailed version is that the Chinese buyer, YG in this case, makes a deal with James Whitner to buy what the court documents say is in-demand and exclusive shoes and apparel. So the court document says in-demand and exclusive, so that means hype stuff, but there's probably also bricks moving at the same time. So for this, YG, the Chinese national, the Chinese buyer, he pays his money broker in China, in yuan, the Chinese currency. This money broker then has to get the equivalent in USD to pay James Whitner. So he redirects a bunch of money couriers that do this. They go out in New York City to go collect money from various different places, either from drug activities or from hookers, whatever it is. And once they've gathered enough, they are to deliver that money to Antoine Freeman, who is an associate of James Whitner. So Freeman receives that money and stores that money. He stores it in the USPS boxes that are been shown on Twitter. And that's how the money couriers, I guess, transport the money in these USPS priority boxes. And here the court docs allege that Whitner or an associate, maybe that JH person, would regularly follow up with Freeman to account for the money. Where is the monies? Have you gotten the monies? We are getting lots of questions about the monies. So the doc states that early on, James Whitner himself would visit Freeman in the New York area and take that money to Charlotte himself. So that is a risky proposition if you are taking large amounts of money, even within U.S. states. If you get caught, police can just seize that money and say that this is proceeds of crime or something, and this happens a lot. So the court doc alleges that starting in December 29th, they started using Brinks armored trucks. So the Brinks armored truck would visit New Jersey, where Freeman is, either his company, the foundation, would then send that money to another armored car company, which would then deposit it into a bank account associated to James Whitner. So the document, it's alleged that Whitner coordinated on how to communicate with Freeman about the deposits and how to make sure that they weren't getting flagged by the banks. It says in November 21, Freeman and Whitner met and discussed, among many other topics, the regular deposits of cash. And then also alleges in the document in July 2022, Whitner talked on the phone with Freeman and another individual about the boxes of money delivered by the couriers, the amount being held for deposit, as well as the specific amount of deposits, about what YG had told Whitner about the deposits and whether YG trusted the people moving the money, and how there was a spreadsheet used to track the amount collected and deposited, and also whether someone would be able to double check the boxes if they contained the right amount of money. So the court document says all this stuff, so they must have evidence to back this up. They must have chats, phone calls, bank statements, access to the spreadsheet, the couriers. Maybe Antoine Freeman himself gave this evidence. The other thing that's alleged in the document is that because they are moving large amounts of cash, when you do that, you are what they call a money transmitting business. And if you are that, you have to register with FinCEN, which stands for Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. So all money transmitting businesses in the US have to register with this network so that they can keep tabs on you, so that they know that, you know, you're not a criminal. This is not just like drug money or prostitution money or whatever it is. In this case, of course, they're not going to register with FinCEN because they are not a legal money transmitting business. They're a sneaker and apparel business just trying to backdoor sneakers and pocket the cash. So the court is basically saying, because they did not register, that this must all be proceeds of crime, and therefore the money can be forfeited and they can take control of it. So that's the key part there, I think, because they lied to the banks, and therefore the banks filled out the wrong forms, and therefore the banks have, you know, violated rules that they were not supposed to. In the doc, it says that when the bank questioned Whitner about the source of the cash, he advised that the money was collected from cash sales of sneakers and apparel at his stores throughout the country or from special promotional events, and that after the cash was consolidated from store vaults, it was to be centralized and deposited here in this bank in Charlotte, North Carolina. It also says right here that he basically told the banks, end quote, that the cash was derived from liquidation to resellers unfamiliar to Whitner and to whom Whitner did not want to provide his account information for purposes of electronic payment. It goes on, after questioning by PNC Bank, Whitner began shifting his business banking activity to South State Bank. So, you know, once they start asking questions, I got to get out of here. It's getting hot. So that was the scheme. This all came to, I guess, a head when Freeman was arrested in August 21st, 2021. He was carrying a deposit bag full of cash at the time. And then they got a search warrant, I guess, and searched his apartment, and they found more. And that's where the pictures of the boxes of the USPS money came in. But then it says they continued investigating between that August 21 and April 22nd. So I guess he must have either, you know, struck some sort of plea deal or is cooperating with him. And that's possibly where they got this evidence from. And it says in the document that in July of 2022, Whitner was captured on a, quote, consensually monitored phone call with Freeman, end quote. I don't know what that means. Consensual by who? Was Freeman cooperating? Did he wear a wire? Was James Whitner aware that he was being recorded? Was it consensual between the feds and Freeman only? I don't know. And it said that during that conversation, Freeman told Whitner that, you know, he got arrested and that the cops told him that the money that they got from the Chinese buyers was drug money. The document says during the conversation, Whitner told Freeman that, quote, he had a feeling some fishy shit was going on. And Whitner says that basically he had a conversation with the Asian buyer that some money didn't come to him because one of the money couriers that was supposed to bring the $50,000 to him was arrested. And so because that money was not delivered to Whitner, that money broker was going to repay that money back to the Asian buyer. And this is where the court document says, quote, Whitner proceeded to explain that any potential criminal source linked to the U.S. currency didn't have anything to do with his business selling shoes. Whitner further exclaimed that the money couriers, quote, could be into Lord knows what, end quote, but that his business was exchanging shoes for money and that the business needed its revenue. So this is a key insight here. James Whitner is basically admitting to backdooring right there that he's exchanging shoes for money. But also his key defense is that I don't know where the money's coming from. I just know there's a guy who gives me money. And wherever they got that money, it's not in my business. I don't know about the prostitutes. I don't know about the drug stuff. But I guess I have an idea that it was something fishy. But what you don't know, I guess, can't hurt you in this case. Or maybe it can. So cut to the fall of 2022. The associate Freeman pleads guilty for his role in the whole money transfer business. The two of the Chinese money couriers are charged. The money broker is not charged because he's in China. And it's hard to charge Chinese nationals unless they're in your airport with, you know, $10,000 in undeclared cash. So the case all revolves around that when they arrested Freeman, they got those boxes with the money in his apartment. And that came out to $1.2 million. So the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency, basically said, hey, this is probably illegal drug money. We're going to seize it. And that's where James Whitner put in a claim and said, no, that $1.2 million is my money. And that is when the IRS got involved because it's like, hey, where did you get this $1.2 million from? And this whole civil forfeiture claim thing is all an IRS report by an IRS agent called Rajinder West. So they are basically seeking that $1.2 million. So that's how we got here. I hope you got all that. If not, just rewind it and listen to it again. You know, it took me skimming the document a couple times to kind of get it all together. I'll give my thoughts kind of at the end, but first I wanted to look back and look over the kind of the backdoor allegations that have been hovering for years, and also about his rising influence at Jordan Brand and Nike. So there was a tweet by Unique Sneaks, also known as Hayden, back in March of 2022 called, "These are the top resellers of all time," and it listed Dre from Project Blitz, Riff LA, Soul Supremacy. It also listed Zeta Kicks. But there was also three other people on the list. There was James Whitner, Marcus Jordan, and Chino from Soulfly. Marcus Jordan one, we know why. Chino from Soulfly is the brother-in-law of Michael Jordan himself and the owner of Soulfly. And James Whitner is the mentor of Marcus Jordan. So it was a thread, and the James Whitner tweet said that he owns a social status in Ama Manier, he has a Nike account and an Adidas account, and that 90% of the stock gets backdoored, sold on StockX and another reselling platform before the release, and that his relationship with Nike is only growing stronger. So these allegations about James Whitner and social status Ama Manier being backdoored all the time have been around for a long time. I've heard them. I may have even referenced it on the podcast once or twice. I can't remember, but if I did, I probably said something vague, like these allegations have been around for a while. There's been all kinds of stories that have been bubbling up again that, you know, no one has won raffles until he started getting these big numbers and his own collabs. People have lined up for Yeezys for days back in, you know, 2018 when Yeezys were super hype. And if you line up for days and they open the door and then only two were available. There was also this old Reddit post about some shenanigans that they also did in store. You know, about backdooring a few pairs, I've said, you know, the game is the game. The stores are going to do this. I said on Twitter that backdooring a few pairs is a victimless crime, like punching someone in the dark. But backdooring a few pairs to support your business is one thing, but having a multi-million dollar money laundering operation is a whole other thing. That's not, you know, just backdooring a size run or two. Maybe it started as backdooring a size run or two, and then it grew to what it is now. I don't know. But the other thing that was mentioned was that James Whitner's influence at Nike is only growing stronger. And this is something I've definitely heard. So it appears that their relationship started officially around All-Star Weekend in Charlotte, where Michael Jordan himself is the owner of the team. This is in February of 2019. And if you remember, that's when these pony hair Jordan 6s released. They were social status pony hair Jordan 6s. And those shoes were horrible. They were junk. They did not resell. They went for under retail immediately. People, I guess, did not want a pony hair Jordan 6. So even though that shoe was a flop, whatever partnership or relationship they established then kind of set the mark for how quickly the whole Ama Meunier and all these Whitner Group stores grew from then. The first Ama Meunier shoe was also in 2019. It was like this Proto Max Jordan 720. I had to look it up. I don't remember that shoe at all. Later in 2019 is when Ama Meunier had a hand wash cold Air Force One that was limited. 2020, nothing really happened, probably because of COVID. But in the summer of 2021 is when the Jordan 3 Raised by Women came out, which was a huge hit. So over that time, as that relationship was building with the Jordan brand and Nike, Marcus's influence was growing and he was getting very influential. And I've heard up to the point where he was almost calling the shots in terms of who gets collabs. These shoes like Teyana Taylor and even Nina Chanel Abney, I'm pretty sure were all of James Whitner's doing. So when someone is really influential and up there and almost treated as family, as someone who's a mentor to your son, to Michael Jordan's son, that is, you know, what's going to happen to that person after all these allegations are out there? Right now, as of this recording, Nike has not said anything, no official response. If I were to guess, they would probably put a pause on all Ama Meunier and social status releases after these fives. These Ama Meunier Jordan 5s are set to release at the end of November on the sneakers app, and it'll be interesting to see if they go ahead or if they're pushed for later. But as I was saying, what is the punishment going to be for someone who's a top tier star in your organization? Someone you've given the reins to? Are you going to slap them on the wrist? Hey, you're not going to get some hype product for a little while. There's a rumor that Trophy Room is not getting hype product for a while, but you know, at the same time, their store was closed or moving locations, and so it was hard to kind of tell. But the simple fact is that stars are treated different. If you watch or know sports, you know that. If some third stringer on a team does some shit, they're cut the next day. If Patrick Mahomes did this exact same thing, nothing's going to happen to Patrick Mahomes. You're counting on him to win you a Super Bowl. So, you know, how close James Whitner is to Michael Jordan, I think, is going to have a big factor of how things go forward, especially if he has Michael Jordan's loyalty. Michael Jordan is a very loyal person. Just look at how he treats Charles Oakley or how he cut off Charles Barkley after Barkley made fun of him for his Hitler mustache. He's never talked to Barkley ever again. So if I were to guess, I would say that Michael Jordan stays loyal to James, who he's treated like family. Anything short of like charges and being like, you know, sent away with handcuffs is probably the only thing that changes that. So, you know, Nike can pause collabs for a while. We don't even know what the next few months of collabs for the Whitaker Group is. I'm assuming because they always have like five or six drops a year that in 2024, they probably have something in the spring. So it's easy to press pause on that for now. But, you know, the sheer number of drops that they were doing and the sheer number of stock that they were doing, these Jordan 5s seem to have a lot of stocks. And honestly, my original topic for this podcast was going to be about forecasting of stock for Nike and how the usual cycle is to cut back after you've had this long, big GR time to make things limited again. But that really, I don't think they're going to do that in 2024. I think Nike is going to stay the course like they did in 2023 and have a lot of releases with a lot of stock. So if you take the Whitaker Group as being this top collaborator with Jordan brand, and if they have minimum five or six drops, all with big stock numbers, that is a lot of sneakers. As we saw with Adidas and Yeezys, you know, they're not going to want to just sit on that product. They want that product moved and sold. So what happens in these next few months is, I guess, going to be a key part. All that stock can be delayed for months and months. I just don't have a feeling that they're going to cancel all those releases. I think they're going to want to move them all. And you know, then Whitaker Group and James Whitner's got to go out there on Instagram and start telling the stories that he had for whatever those 2024 shoes are. Their statement said that they are still committed to telling their stories. And, you know, how will the stories change? Will it be about being targeted unfairly? I don't know. That's up to him. But overall, you know, Whitner, he seems like a nice guy. People have say good things about him. He seems to be wanting to help with the free game stuff that he does. You know, people want to cheer for him and root for him and don't want to see him fall. He's actually a great example of what can be done with collabs and storytelling. He really did change the game a little bit with the personal storytelling that he brought to it. So if he's a nice guy and you believe that, then you would probably would tend to agree that maybe he didn't know anything about what was happening on the Chinese buyer side or the broker side, the courier side with the prostitutes and the drug rings. And that, you know, he was just exchanging sneakers for money. Or he probably is a smart guy and understands that Chinese nationals have a hard time getting money out. And this is how they do it. And how that sausage is actually made is through, you know, nefarious illegal schemes. Or he was the motherfucking kingpin and involved in all details. And he's like, I want that gas. Yes. And that's the thing. I've said about this about Kanye. You could be all these things. You can be a nice guy with a mission, but you can also be greedy and involved in an international money laundering scheme. You know, I really do wonder what the Nike executives know. You know, Nike is not dumb. They probably knew that backdooring was going on. The sheer volume of numbers probably would tell you that backdooring is going on. If one store can only move, say, 200 units of a product, but the equivalent James Whitner store can move 1,000 of that same product, probably something going on there. It's not just, you know, branding that that place is moving 1,000 more units. Nike, if they did know, they probably don't know the details and didn't want to. The simple fact is that these kind of clandestine operations actually clean up efficiencies in large systems. And that's what Nike is. They are a large system. In the last podcast, when I was talking about the future of retail, I talked about this Secret Life of Groceries book I read, and in that book, there's a section about the shrimp industry in Thailand, and I won't get into all the details, but essentially there's a part where they talk about how there's these big processing plants where people are working there and peeling the shrimp by hand, but also around in that same city, there are all these things called shrimp huts where there's workers who get paid way less who are also peeling the shrimp, and that the big factories will need to get some shrimp from these kind of places once in a while due to market conditions. Maybe they didn't get enough one day, basically to clean up the inefficiencies of a large system. So that's the metaphor I was going for here, that any big, large system of moving product needs to clean up inefficiencies. And in sneakers, backdooring cleans up your inefficiencies. So that's why I say Nike's not dumb. They know that. They know that they need this once in a while. That's why ultimately, you know, backdooring a size run or two is okay. But a whole operation with Chinese hookers and everything like that, they don't want their star QB, their version of Patrick Mahomes, involved in some scheme that involves Chinese hookers. So this all depends on the criminal charges, if there are any. If there are, they'll probably be settled, I'm assuming. He probably has to pay back taxes to the IRS. I don't think he's going to be, you know, put in jail and arrested and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know. Maybe he really is just innocent and he didn't know what the Chinese buyers and brokers were doing. And the only thing he really did wrong was not register with FinCEN because he made too much money, that he's suffering from success like DJ Khaled. And that's a slap on the wrist. That's probably something you could pay a fine for and not have to go to jail for. But either way, it still looks bad. Like, here's a scenario. Back in, you know, June of 2021, there was some John in New York who wanted to get his dick sucked. So he called up his guy, Chinese Mike. And he said, Chinese Mike, I need one of those Asian prostitutes that you have access to. Chinese Mike said, all right, I got you. And he made an arrangement with a sex worker to go visit this John. So that sex worker and that John, you know, made a transaction. And then she got money from that John, took that money to Chinese Mike, who then gave it to a money courier, who gave it to Antoine Freeman, who deposited it into James Whitner's bank account, who then used that John's money that he used to pay for Sloppy Toppy. James Whitner used that money to pay for the Raised by Women Jordan 3 ad campaign. So, no matter which way you look at it, that can't be good for business, and that can't be good for anybody. This has been Emergency Podcast, episode 60 of the Sock Jig Sneaker Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I apologize in advance if I got any details wrong. This is all quickly edited together very late at night. And most importantly, this is all allegedly. This is all a parody for legal purposes. And also for legal purposes, you can go fuck yourself.